since Dan and Steve and, well, you're here, but
yeah.
That doesn't, yeah, okay. It's my turn, really. I actually volunteered for this scripture before we realized it was going to be the men's getaway Sunday, so it kind of worked out pretty good. Anyway, so here's our scripture for the day. It's Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Drama team, it's on you.
I'm shooting my computer.
Can I do that?
No. All right. This is kind of an unsettling verse. I don't know if you've ever been unsettled by it, but it sometimes kind of makes you think, wow, I sure hope I'm a sheep. Huh? Please, I'm a sheep, really. Judgment. Judgment is never a comfortable thing to face. I worked security for years, and every time I walked up in a uniform and talked to somebody, they'd get nervous. Whether I was coming up to say hello, good morning, or not. They just got nervous all of a sudden because they were afraid I was going to come down on them for some little law that they had no idea existed. Let me make this a little easier. How many of you have done job searches lately? Done interviews? And you sit in front of somebody who's doing the interview and they want to pull out of you whether or not you're the person that's right for the job. And it makes you nervous. It is not a comfortable feeling because you're not really sure what he wants from you or she wants from you. It's judgment. We're coming up here to the end of time and judgment day. You remember Dan was talking about the timeline he put up. This is at the very end when Jesus comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with his angels and decides who's a keeper. Who's going to experience the blessings of the kingdom in eternity and who isn't. And if that doesn't scare you, nothing will. I wouldn't want Kathy to be the judge on that one. Saying. To shoot them all. Yeah, I've heard people say shoot them all at God sort them out. Yeah, that's a little... Yeah. So what do we do with judgment? How do we look at this thing? You know, I don't think as people of God that we need to be afraid. And here are some of my reasons. Let's put up slide 5 there, just because that's my pretty slide. There's the judgment scene. Jesus sitting, sorting out the lambs from the sheep. He doesn't look like a real hardcore guy. He's looks like a shepherd here. But he's definitely in the holy seat, and he's definitely in charge. Go to the next one. Jesus is the most qualified to be our judge. And here are my reasons. First of all, he created us. That's a good start. Here in John 1, the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives life to everyone. That's talking about Jesus. So, Jesus created us. You think he might care a little bit about us. Think he might know a little bit about us. Pretty cool stuff. The next one, he sacrificed himself for us. Now that's something huge. In John 3:14, it talks about how he was lifted up on a pole. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus laid down his life so that we could have eternal life, so that we won't perish when we come to this end point. Okay? Then the last reason is because he loves us. Go to the next one. Yeah, loves us. Easy. So, John 3:17, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son, so everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's one you need to memorize because it's a great comfort verse. It says to you, okay, his love helps me to not perish. That's a good thing. Go to the next slide. So sheep or goats? I figured it was best to do my homework on sheep and goats. And the reason I did is because this is the backdrop for what Jesus is telling us here. And if you think about it, the people in Israel would know as much about sheep and goats as just about anybody. It would be easy to, when you say sheep, they have an image in their mind. When you say goats, they have an image in their mind. When I say Luke Skywalker, you have an image in your mind. When I say Coca-Cola, you have an image in your mind. It was pretty universal. They knew exactly what he was talking about because they're exposed to it all the time. So when Jesus talked about sheep, they understood that sheep had a certain kind of nature. And when he talked about goats, they understood goats had a certain kind of nature. So I thought it would be best, when we're looking at this scripture, to kind of look at what that is. It kind of helps decode the thing. My next shot I took in Israel. Sometimes it's hard to tell the sheep from the goats from the rocks in this country. They all kind of look the same when you're kind of looking at them from the outside. But when you get a little closer, you see that they are different. The goats tend to wander off. That's why this one is tethered to a big rock. And they don't get along really well, and that's another reason why he's tethered to that big rock. Because if you notice, that sheep has duct tape and a stick on its leg. I think maybe the goat kind of got rough with the sheep. They don't pasture well together. And in fact, I read one particular blog about raising sheep and goats together, and it said you need to take their weapons away. Okay? So I'll dehorn the sheep and the goats, and the goats will usually start it. The sheep will usually finish it, the ram sheep. Yeah, just because of the way they fight. But the sheep don't usually start it. It's usually the goats. They're always the troublemakers. Just the way it is. Okay, so go to the next slide, and I'll give you some ups and downs about sheep. Okay, so sheep, they're different animals, right? Sheep's tails go down. That's how you tell a sheep from a goat. Okay, tails go down as opposed to the tails that go up on the goats. Their food is tender grass and clover. They socially stick together. They're agitated when they get apart from each other. If they can't see the rest of the flock, they get a little nervous. They watch out for each other. They're easy to keep inside of a fence. And they're dependent on a shepherd and each other. They'll follow a shepherd just about anywhere once they've bonded with the shepherd. And they smell a little bit. Okay. Next we go to the goat. Tail up, see? Go to the next slide. Okay, and they eat leaves and twigs and shrubs and just about anything, like garbage. You've heard the tin can thing, just about. I mean, they'll probably munch on it, but yeah, they'll eat it. And they actually need different things to eat than just grass. They don't get enough nutrition from just grass. Socially, oh, my stuff all slid out of the way. Yeah, Mac, Windows, yeah. All right. They are socially independent. They are curious. They're hard to keep fenced in. Has anybody ever tried to keep a goat behind a fence? I've heard people say they could put up a 6-foot fence and the thing would still climb out. You pretty much have to tether them to a rock. And they tend to start fights with the sheep. And they smell bad. They're worse. They have these glands that make them a whole lot smellier, especially when they're sexy. Yeah. So that is a goat. So you can see that they're a little different. Not the same animal. They have completely different things going on. Go to the next slide. So now, Jesus paints this picture, the sheep and the goats, has to separate them out. See, there's sheep and goats both in that herd flock. And the reason is, far as I can tell, peacekeeping. I mean, if you're going to have eternity, it's time to kind of get it together. And if Jesus promised us this peaceful, glorious, perfect eternity, then there's a problem. You've got both sheep and goats. All right. So, the next thing is, what does he ask the sheep and the goats? How does he figure out what's going on? So he asks them, he says, I was hungry. Go ahead to the next slide. I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger. I needed clothes, I was in prison. You took care of those things, he says to the sheep. Why do you think the sheep didn't know? I really thought about that because, you know, you would think they know. Even more of a question is why did the other people not know that they hadn't done that? I got to thinking, okay, let me think. Maybe it's more that the people that are doing things for people are doing things in their life naturally for people all the time. And when they're doing things all the time, then they start to lose track of who all they did it for. And I mean, it's not about who they're doing it for, because they're sheep now. They're a different animal. Let me go back. They are changed from goats into sheep. They're somebody else. They're doing these things out of this nature that is a sheep. They're just going around doing stuff. And so they kind of forget who all they've done it for. And they're like, okay, so which one were you? How did you sneak by? How did I not figure out it was you? I mean, were you wearing a disguise or something and sneaking up on me, checking up? I don't know. And the goats, they're thinking, oh gosh, if I'd have known it was you, I made sure I had like media come and have a picture with me and you, right? Because you're Jesus, you're a big deal. If I'm a Christian, and I got you at my house, I am feeding, putting on the dog. I'm making sure you got all the good food. How could that slip by me that was you? Because I would have done all these things because that makes me look good. See the different motivation? It's not about Jesus, it's about them. It's not about who they're wired to be. They're wired to do their own thing, be independent, to eat whatever they want, not to be satisfied with the food that Christ gives us. I mean, what food does a Christian eat?
Bacon.
And every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And bacon.
Which came down from heaven.
And following the things that Jesus said and trying to figure them out and live them in life because of what? Gratitude. Because of the reason number two back there, he sacrificed himself for us and he loves us. And because of that sacrifice for us and that love for us, we get changed from goats into sheep. We become a different creature. Not the same anymore. We aren't so interested in finding our own way. We're more interested in hanging out with each other and helping each other. You know, some people will say that this verse is all about taking care of every hungry, thirsty, poor person on this planet. And in a way, that's true. But Jesus was talking directly to the disciples and to his followers here. And he also was saying, you know, what you do for these, my brothers in Christ. I think we need to help each other first. We need to help the world. But it all needs to come out of this nature, this compassion that we're growing in ourselves because of who Jesus is creating in us, who he's making us to be. And the only way we can get this nature is in the last slide here. Well, maybe not that one. I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said you needed to be born again? Jesus was saying something incredibly difficult and incredibly easy. Jesus was saying he wants all of you, all of me. He wants to be the center. And until we're ready to give up our control and be willing to stay within the sheep fence when the shepherd tells us to, until we're ready to follow the shepherd willingly, we're never going to get to be a sheep. We have to lay it down, and then he can make us become a sheep. We can't just become a sheep on our own. We have to give ourselves over to Christ completely and let him take control and be born again. Not an easy thing. And yet the easiest thing ever, because when you do, it's a whole lot easier to do these things. They become natural. And then you'll know who it is you're supposed to help, because they'll be right there in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, everyone you touch is someone you need to serve for Christ. And, I mean, look at all the places we serve here. We have Kathy working over at the Pregnancy Resource Center. We have Barbara working over at the prison, helping people with their abuse issues and dependencies. We have Mel and Dawn fixing people's cars. We have people involved in all kinds of ministries. We're helping people in the Philippines with their very basic needs and with the ministry of Christ. We're supporting people who are preaching Christ to the world in another part of the world, as well as being here for each other. Every little meal we get served in the kitchen, every little drama that gets put on up here, when it comes out of that compassion for Christ, it becomes something different. It comes from something completely different, from somebody who's just trying to make a name for themselves or trying to do what gratifies them. Does that make sense? I think really that that's what Jesus is saying here, that it's our compassion that gets us into the kingdom of heaven. It's our response to his compassion for us. It's our gratitude for that compassion for us and putting it into motion. Oh, gosh, I had a ton of notes and they all kind of went flying. So, I guess that's all I really have to say. Let's be sheep. You pray with me. Jesus, we can't do this without you. And I don't want to. I'm not good at it. And all I get is all I get out of it is me. I want to get you out of it. I want us to all get you out of it. I want the world to be blessed by you through us. Please be with us as we look at our world and figure out where you put us, what gifts, what talents you gave us, and put it into work for you. I just thank that you care thank you that you care so much for us that we get to inherit the kingdom of heaven. That is such amazing stuff. Thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name.